Okay, we carry on our eyewitness series. We're looking at the account of Jesus' life from those who were with him or from those who have a very, very good account from those who were with him. And we're moving into Luke chapter 8 this week. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Luke 8 and we're going to start reading at verse 22. And is anyone alive? Yes. Anyone awake? Okay, let me just let you into a secret. The more you affirm what we're saying this morning, probably the better I'll preach. So let's not be silent this morning. Okay, it says this, verse 22 of Luke chapter 8. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall, or in another version of the Bible, a furious squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and the storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" Jesus asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Joe is here. She's now got it. Great to see you, Brian. Great to have you home. And so now you can tell her if you want, okay? So we are on Eyewitness Week 3, and we're looking at the story of Jesus calming the storm. And this was not put together with the week that our nation has had in mind, but it fits in quite well. And I want to start by saying that so often we see storms, whether they be storms in our personal life, in our church, in our community, in our nation, we see storms not like the rain that pours down, although we live in England, and so that happens quite regularly. But the storms in our life we can see as quite a negative thing. When those things kind of come and begin to rock our faith and begin to rock our belief in God and our hope in who he is, all of a sudden we can see them as a negative thing. But I actually think that God sees them as a tool that he can use to work in us. So I don't think God necessarily sees the things that are going on in our life, in our world right now, as negative. I think he actually sees them as a tool that he can use to do something in us and through us. You see, because I don't believe that God, you know, with everything that's happening in our nation right now, I don't believe that God sees it. I don't believe that God has been shocked by it. Some of us may have been. But I don't believe that God woke up Friday morning going, "I have no idea what I'm going to do with the UK now. I have no idea how this is going to work." You see, because the Bible tells us that God is the beginning and the end. That he doesn't see everything as negative. What he actually sees is that it's an opportunity for him to do something in the world that he created. I actually see what has happened this last week. Actually, it's an opportunity for the church to rise up. You know, it's an opportunity for the church to begin to rise up and bring hope where there is no hope. And bring the answer where there is no answer. And bring a security and a solid footing where there isn't one right now. I actually don't see it as just a problem. I see it as an opportunity. I see it as right now in history, church, we have the greatest opportunity than we have ever had in this nation to show who Jesus is. We have the greatest opportunity. So I don't always think that God sees every storm as a negative. And in this narrative that we've just looked at in the book of Luke, when they set sail, I'd always thought this, you know, when Jesus said, "Let's get into the boat," okay, they must have had an inkling we could be sailing into a storm. Because I think a storm's the way it happens in the UK, right? So you see, it kind of goes a bit dull. And the cloud covers the sky, and then all of a sudden it gets grey. We were out in the garden yesterday, we were playing, because it had been throwing it down when we picked up Natasha from the train station. And so the kids had to stay in the car, they were not impressed. And so we got her home, and we got into the house, and all of a sudden it was glorious sunshine again. So we're like, right, we're going to go into the garden. We were going to watch Alvin 4, because it arrived yesterday. Thank you, Jesus. But we decided not to because the sun was out. So when the sun is out in Britain, you get out into the garden and catch as many rays as you can. Because you know, as quickly as it comes out, it's going to go back in. So we went out in the garden and we were playing and it was absolutely fantastic. And all of a sudden I said to the kids, "Right, we are going inside." And they're like, "Why?" I said, "Because if you look over there, that is heading our way." And by the time it's headed our way, I want the bikes back in the garage and everything to kind of be going okay. And we want to be inside with our chocolate treats watching Alvin and the Chipmunks. So we're going inside now because that cloud is coming. And I was kind of thinking, you know, there must have been an inkling that they were going into the storm. So I decided to really read up on this passage in Luke. And this is what I found. That as they were going to go across the lake, across the Sea of Galilee, okay, as they were going through there, I found a few things out. Because it said that thing of, and there all of a sudden was a furious squall. And I'm not even reading the King James Version, and I have no idea what that means. And I wasn't very good at, you know, at kind of most things in school. So I thought, right, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to find out what this word means. And so I went in and I looked at what this whole thing of this furious squall means. And this is what it told me, that in the Sea of Galilee, at the Sea of Galilee, that sea is surrounded by mountains, which makes it susceptible to violent storms. So these mountains all around it, all of you who know a little bit more about maybe overseas world, you're all nodding at me right now, so I know that my research was good. Okay, so there's all these mountains around the Sea of Galilee. And what happens is, are we ready for this? Cool air, I feel like a weather woman right now. Cool air from the Mediterranean is drawn down through the narrow mountain passes. Okay, so there's these really narrow mountain passes. Cool air is drawn through those and it meets the humidity that is coming off the lake and it causes violent storms. So it's not you look up into the sky and you see the dark clouds and you think, should I get into the boat or shouldn't I? The sky was probably clear when they go in. And all of a sudden, halfway across, the warm air meets the cool air through the mountain passes and boom, you've got this storm. This storm just comes out of absolutely nowhere and begins to rock the boat, begins to buffet the boat, begins to scare the people who are in the boat apart from Jesus, obviously, because he's asleep. So the storm came out of nowhere. It could not have been predicted. They wouldn't have seen it coming, but they did. But they wouldn't have seen it coming, but what happened was they were afraid. Strong fishermen in that boat. They knew how to deal. They knew how to read the sky. They knew how to deal with storms, but they were afraid. They were in this boat that all of a sudden was being thrown around violently on the sea. They had no idea that the storm was coming. Ever felt like that? Ever felt like that in life? Something hits you and all of a sudden you didn't see it coming. You couldn't have predicted it. You couldn't have looked into your future. How many of us would have looked into 2016 and seen the things that have happened in our world? How many of us would have looked and seen, you know, so many people, so many great celebrities that have died this year? So many things that rock our world, so many things politically that have rocked our world. How many of us would have really looked and seen all of that and would have predicted it all? Even a week ago, we wouldn't necessarily have predicted Friday. So all of a sudden, the storm hits. All of a sudden, they, out of nowhere, they could not predict it. All of a sudden, they are found in this boat. And I think Luke 8 shows us a few things about the disciples that we need to catch a hold of this morning. And the first thing about the disciples is simply this, that for every word that Jesus said, they were obedient. And I think in the days in which we live, we have got to grasp an obedience to the word of God like never before. We've got to grasp an obedience to what God says over what man says. You know, Jesus said to them, let's get in the boat. We're going over to the other side. These are 12 strong men. You know, these are not yes men. These are not, you know, guys who were just kind of part of a crowd. These are guys that can stand up for themselves. These are guys that wouldn't always have done as they were told probably in their younger days. And all of a sudden Jesus says, get into a boat. They say yes. And what happens is Jesus puts them into the boat that is going to take them into the storm. Sometimes God allows things in our world that take us into the storm, that take us into the thing that we can't predict and that we can't say is going to happen. And all of a sudden, we're then left in the boat saying, Jesus, you got us into this. You know, the disciples must have been thinking, he told us to get in the boat. Or maybe they are a little more holy than probably what me or you would have been. Okay, God, we're in this boat. What are we going to do now? But the Bible just constantly shows us that they were obedient to whatever Jesus told them. Jesus took them into a situation that was going to demand courage and faith. Jesus took them into a situation that in the natural they could have looked at was going to take them out. But actually what they did is they obediently trusted in the voice of Jesus. Do you know, we, in our personal lives, in our church life, in our community, in our nation, in our world, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to rise up and be obedient to what God says. Be obedient to what he tells us, or to what he has already told us. There needs to be an obedience in us that says, God, whatever you say to me, I'm willing to obey and I'm willing to do it. Secondly, the disciples, when they were in the situation that they were in, they woke up the one who could help them. They knew of one who could help them. They knew of one who was in the boat with them, who was asleep, who was kind of, you know, sailing through all of this. They knew of one who could help. And so they went and they awoke him. You know, Psalm 121, I've been in that over the last few days, says this: I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. And the Bible tells us in that psalm that God doesn't sleep. So it's not like we need to go and wake God up. God's not asleep in our boat this morning. God's not asleep and oblivious to what is going on. But this morning, God does want us to go to him. He does want us to go and talk to him. He does want us to go and be with him. The Psalms tell us that God never sleeps, so we don't need to wake him. But he does, however, want us to turn to him and to ask him for help. God knows what you need. Sometimes he's waiting for you to tell him that. Sometimes he's waiting for you to open the door and say, actually, God, you come in, you help me, you give me strength, you give me hope, you give me the things that I need to carry on. Yeah. So they awoke the one that they knew could help them. And thirdly, and I absolutely love this about the disciples and about what it says in Luke 8. It says this, that they showed fear and amazement. Do you know what I love about reading through the New Testament and through the book of Luke is that the disciples were just like me. And they were just like you. They were human beings. They weren't this untouchable band of men. Okay, they were human like me and you. And although the Bible does, the Bible tells us not to worry. The Bible tells us not to be afraid. And so often in our humanity, we struggle with that because of what we go through. And this is what they said. They were afraid and they were amazed. Jesus' closest friends showed fear, even though Jesus was physically with them. They woke him up. You need to wake up, Jesus. We're going to drown. It's all going to pop. This is the end. And Jesus just encouraged them. Where's your faith, boys? Where's your faith gone? Because I'm here. This is not the end. My time's not yet come. It's not the end. And so often, we struggle with the not being afraid and not doubting and having small faith. And the Bible shows us time and time again, when Jesus came to his disciples, he would say these words to them: oh, you've little faith. Come on, let's just raise our expectation a bit. Let's raise the level of faith. How often is that like us? While the storm is raging, we experience worry and fear. And then in the midst of God doing something, we end up totally amazed at the outcome. Yeah. We start with worry and fear. That's part of our humanity. The Bible tells us not to live by the flesh, but sometimes we struggle with that. Yeah. Sometimes we find that difficult as we go into a situation. And then we come through the situation and we end up being utterly amazed. Who would have thought, you know, if you were in the boat that day with the disciples, would you have thought, let's wake Jesus because he's just going to tell the wind and the waves to stop it? The way God does things sometimes is utterly amazing. The way God changes situations for us, the way he pulls us through, the way he does things is utterly amazing. And what we start off with fear and worry sometimes, we end up utterly amazed. And the more that that happens, the less fear and worry we should have when the next storm comes, when the next wave comes. You see, the disciples show both fear and amazement, and it's great to watch them through the journey of their life. The fear become less, but the amazement stays strong. And I want to encourage us this morning, you know, in our humanity, we fear. In our humanity, we worry. But let me tell you, in every situation that we find ourselves, there is an amazement coming. There is a wow moment that is coming. I remember when my kids were in nursery, they used to come home with this thing that you had to put wow moments on. So, you know, I don't know. It could be anything that they've done. They swam without armbands. And the nursery would stick it up on the wall and they would say, Olive, this is Oliver's wow moment this week. This is what he's done. And he would get a round of applause and they would make a big deal out of him. A wow moment. And I want to tell you, church, that in your life, in our life as a church, the life of our community, in the life of our nation, there is a wow moment coming. God, I never thought you would do it that way. God, I never thought that's what you would use. I never thought that is how you would do it. That is amazing. I would never have thought of that. I'm sure God sits up in heaven sometimes going, yes, I know. Which is why I did it. He probably doesn't, because he's probably not a northern sarcastic person. But there will be a wow moment coming where we're utterly, utterly amazed at what God has done for us. You know, I've heard it said that sometimes God calms the storm and sometimes he lets the storm rage and he calms his child. It's not always that God's going to calm the storm in your life. Sometimes he wants it so that he can do something in you. Sometimes he wants you calm even if the storm's raging. Even when the storm's raging, even when things are going on in life, sometimes God comes and he wants to calm you. He wants to give you a security and a peace that you have never known before. He wants to do something in your life that is unprecedented. He wants the wow moment to come, okay? And when you're kind of sitting there, God wants to go, okay, I know I've not stopped the storm, but what I'm doing in you is going to be so amazing. Actually, one day, you'll realize why I didn't just break in and stop the storm. This is our reality this morning, that God doesn't stand in the middle of our storm. God stands above it. Yeah. God doesn't stand in the middle of our storm. I don't know, those of you who wear glasses, who wears glasses, okay? When you're in a storm, it's rubbish, isn't it? And you're walking. Okay, so the rain's pouring down, you've got your glasses, you almost need windscreen wipers on your glasses, okay, and you walk in, and the rain's beating down, and you can, you know, I mean, your eyesight's not that great anyway, because you wear glasses, but it's even then worse when the rain kind of starts dripping down the glasses, and you can't see, and sometimes I think, you know, we want this God of ours to be the one that's right in the middle of the storm with us, but actually God stands above it, because God's vision is not blurred when the wind and the waves hit his eyes. God's vision is not blurred over your life this morning. He stands above the storm and he sees you through it. What is it? Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know what? If you are in the middle of a storm right now, as we are in the middle of a storm as a nation, God stands above the storm. He doesn't stand in it. His vision is not blurred. He doesn't know if he can, you know, see the way ahead. God stands above and he sees the next phase. He sees the next step. He sees the next prime minister. He sees the next thing that you're going to do in your life, okay? Maybe some of us are going, yeah, we see who might be the next prime minister. And maybe some of us have very mixed feelings about that. But let me tell you this morning, God stands above the storm. He's not stood in it. And I think because we want to conjure up this God, and I want to balance this comment out, okay, before you go away with just what I'm going to say next. We want this God who we think is just there hugging us. So can I just borrow you a minute, Clive?
Go on, Clive.
Just let me borrow you.
Go on, well done, Clive.
Thank you. You see, right. Clive is like God. Okay. For the next 3 minutes. All right. And then we'll take the mantle off. Okay. And this is what we want. We want God to be just this big huggable person in the middle of our storm, protecting us, making us feel good, making us feel safe. But actually, how are you at climbing on a chair? Health and safety is over 18. We're okay. Okay. But actually, okay, God is above. And his protection is still there. And he's still this big cuddly God. Okay. But his protection is still there. But if he was always just stood in my storm with me, who would be stood above it telling me which way to go? If God was always just stood hugging me in my storm, who would be stood above it going, this is the way? He's pointing to the door. I don't think I quite like that. Okay. I think your 3 minutes is over. And you see, do you know the reality is God is with you. God is protecting you. God is that comfort to you. Because Psalm 23 tells us, but God isn't stood in the middle of your storm and able to see the way forward. He stood above, directing you. The Bible says that his word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God is stood above my storm. He's going, Joe, this is the way. This is how you need to walk. You can't see it. You want to go that way because that seems easy. But let's go with what is right, not what is easy. And if you go this way, I'm stood above the cloud. I'm stood above the storm and I can see what's coming. God's not just this huggable God that we want to create him to be because that makes us feel good. He's a father. And he is looking out. You see, when my kids are growing up, I was with Caitlin last week. Caitlin has just had her birthday and was blessed hugely with money in cards. And so I told her she couldn't spend it all on tap. And so she decided she wanted an iPod because she wants to be like mummy. And so she should. Okay, and so... We went to Tesco and we were looking at these out, and this iPod was quite expensive. And I said, Caitlin, you can afford it, or you can wait a few days and let us find you one just as good on eBay. Yeah. She said, what's eBay? I said, eBay's a place that we can get things cheaper than Tesco. And she was like, but I want it now. I'm like, okay, do I let her make the decision and spend all of her money? Because if I do that right now, she's going to come and hug me and be really excited, okay? And be like, Mummy, you are the best mummy. And I love those moments because there are quite a few that are not like that. So when you get those moments and, you know, and Mummy, me, you know, it's absolutely fantastic. I can pick what color I want. This is brilliant. Or do I go, actually, no, Caitlin, I can see what you can't. All you see is you want instantly now what you want. But actually, I'm going to save you money. And so she said, but Mummy, I want a white one. Can you get me a white one off eBay? I'm like, I have no idea if I can get you. I said, I don't know, sweetheart. You might just have to get what you get, but I want a white one. So, we teach our kids, okay, then ask for a white one. So I'm like then trawling through eBay going, God, there's got to be a white iPod. It's got to be a white iPod. You see, I could have gone for the instant gratification. There you go, sweetheart. And spent every penny she had. Or I can say to her, actually, I'm going to teach you a bit of a lesson right now. I'll teach you a bit of a lesson. If you wait a few days, Mummy and Daddy will look on eBay and we'll buy it for you. And then you'll get it in a few days and you'll still have some money. You can still buy Alvin and the Chipmunks 4. Lord help us. And then, you can still have some money to take on your holidays and all of that kind of stuff. You see, as a parent, I like doing the nice huggable thing and the nice kind of, you know, Caitlin loves me thing. But actually, as a parent, sometimes I have to stand back and say, but I know what's good for you. Yeah. God's exactly the same. Yeah. Jesus was in the boat with them. They were still afraid, but he was in the boat with them and he could see beyond the storm because his vision wasn't like their vision. And so I want to look at this morning three things that can happen through the storm in our lives. Are you ready for this? Yeah. Okay, number one. Storms help you discover purpose. Every time you go through a storm in life, you will discover a purpose within you that either you had forgotten about, you were trying to get rid of, or you did not know was there. Every time you go through a storm, because when we go through storms, we begin to evaluate life. We begin to evaluate where we are. We begin to evaluate our relationship with God, our relationship with others. Every storm can, if you let it, bring you into purpose. When I'm uncertain about things, one thing always happens is this. That even though I'm uncertain about a lot of things, I become certain about one or two things. I remember going through my marriage breakdown and deciding what I was going to do next. Where was I going to take my life when I realized this was never going to be brought back together? What was I going to do? And I can remember praying one day and just saying, God, what do you want me to do? You know, I could move back home with my parents. I could stay here. I could go, to some friends, some great leaders that I know, and just hang out in their church for a while. I knew that I had options. And youth had gone down to maybe four or five kids in youth. That was it. when Dave left. God really shrunk everything. And that was God being protective. And so I kind of sat one day praying, and just this sentence came into my head. And a lot of the time we say, and God spoke to me. Well, this sentence came into my head. I believe it actually was from God. I don't think it was the audible voice of God, but I believe it was from the Holy Spirit. And just this one sentence came into my head, and it was simply this. They've lost one shepherd. Don't let them lose another. That was the one sentence that came into my head. They've lost one shepherd. Don't let them lose another. And that one sentence, you know what? In that time in my life, I was uncertain about a lot of things. I was uncertain about my future. I was uncertain about where I was going. I was uncertain about the why. God, why? Why? I was uncertain about, can I do this on my own? I was uncertain about my confidence levels and the things I thought about myself. I had low self-esteem. But one thing I knew is they've lost one shepherd. Don't let them lose another. So in all of my uncertainty, I became certain of one thing. You see, storms can bring you purpose. And the rest, as they say, is history. And I want to really encourage you this morning, if you are in the middle of a storm, begin to discover the purpose that God has for you in your next season. When the storm has passed, and sometimes things that we go through in life, I know that sometimes there's always a residue, and we can sometimes live with that residue. But you know what? There will come a time where the storm isn't raging as much as it once was. And it's at that time we need to hang on to the purpose that God has given us in the middle of the storm. Because storms will always reveal purpose. The reality is simply this, that wherever your life is right now, it is safe in His hands. It is safe in the hands of a Father God who loves you incredibly. I titled this morning, The Perfect Storm, because this is the reality that the storm becomes perfect when we allow God to perfect us through it. The storms in our life have a perfection around them. And I don't look back on my life and think, now I like that storm. I don't like some of the storms that have raged in my life. I'm thankful of what God's done in me through it, but I don't like the storm. The storm becomes perfect when God begins to perfect you, perfect your character, rub those edges off you while you are in the middle of it. You discover purpose when you realize, I was sat in the car on Friday, just going, God, Matt had asked me a question Thursday night. I don't know if he remembers asking me this question. We were sitting down, he's like, you know, what are you preaching on Sunday? And I told him, he said, what's your angle? Got to have an angle, Joe. That story's been preached on loads of times. What's your angle? And so I'm sitting in the car going, and I've got my notes, and I've got the things I've already written down. I'm going, God, what's my angle? I need an angle, God, and I've not got it yet, and Matt needs to know what my angle is. And so I'm sat in the car on Friday and just waiting to go pick the kids up from school. And I got a notebook at the side. I'm going, God, what is the main thing you want people to know? And again, just kind of thought these words in my mind. And it's simply this. You discover purpose when you realize there is more power in the boat than what there is in the storm. There was more power in the boat with 12 scared men and one savior that what there was when the cool air met the humid air and somehow created this massive storm. When the elements, when the natural elements began to rage and began to throw this boat about, this was the reality. There was more power in the boat than what there was in the storm. And I thought, that is the angle. That is the angle. That is what we need to hear this morning, that whether it is your personal storm, whether it's a storm that we may enter as a church, whether it's a storm in our community or in our nation, this is the reality, church, that there is more power in this room right now than in the storm that is raging. And we need to rise up and realize the power of God that is available to us. You'll find your purpose when you realize greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There's more power in the boat, metaphorically speaking, this morning than what there is in the storm. There's more power in you today when you allow the Holy Spirit in than what there is in the storm that rages in your life. Your fear doesn't negate His power. You plus God is always stronger than what rages against you. Even sometimes, Joyce Meyer says this, that sometimes you've just got to do it scared. Yeah. Even sometimes when we're doing it scared. I'll be honest with you that when Pastor Lee left 4 years ago, this was my prayer on Sunday number one, when he said that Matt and I were taking the leadership of the church. I can remember praying on that morning, God, please let someone show up. It's true. God, if they show up this morning, I think we're going to be okay. Because what I'd been, and I can remember just praying and saying, God, you know what? I'm going to do this thing a little bit afraid. Because there's more power in the boat than what there is in the storm. Second thing about the storm is simply this, that storms help you find faith. When you go through something, your faith comes out stronger when you make it through the storm. I want to say to us this morning, church, that faith is something that grows the more we use it. If you never step out in faith, it will never grow in you. If you never step out to do something for God, that faith muscle in you, that spiritual muscle, will never become stronger. You know, in the natural, that, you know, when you haven't exercised for a while, or rarely, never, when you've not done that, something like that for a while, and you go and you do that and you exert certain muscles in the morning, they hurt because the muscle is growing. Yeah. It's the same in the spirit, okay? Your faith muscle is never going to grow if you never use it. If you never talk to that neighbor, if you never talk to that person at work about Jesus, if you never step out in faith, if you never say, God, if you don't show up, I don't think we say this enough in our church. God, if you don't show up, I have no idea what we're going to do. Yeah. I think we need to get ready for a few more things like that, a few more prayer meetings where actually the whole church rocks up. Because if you don't show up in this, I have no idea what's going to happen. When storms hit, faith grows. When storms hit, the faith muscle begins to get bigger. Through every storm in my life, my relationship with God has become stronger, has become closer. And this morning I want to say that storms will help you find your faith. Because you'll realize there's more power in the what? In the boat than there is in the storm. And when you begin to realize that, your faith muscle begins to grow. And you begin to say things like, God, if there's more power in the boat than there is in the storm, then I'm just going to go against the storm and I'm just going to do this for you. I'm going to step out in faith for you. I'm going to, you know, do something incredible for you. Yeah. Your faith muscle will grow in the midst of the storm. And then thirdly and lastly, storms bring a fresh authority. Good. A storm in the natural has great power. I love storms in the natural. I love it. My bedroom when I was at home was in the attic of our house. And we had Velux windows in the roof of our house. So when the storms hit over Halifax and we had some cracking storms, I would just literally lie on my bed, which was under my window, and I would just listen to it. And I would watch the lightning and I would listen to the thunder and I would listen to the rain pounding and bouncing off. I love storms. I like them more when I'm sat in my lounge with a real fire going. But I love storms. There's great power. There's great authority in a storm. There's no stopping it. There's no, you know, I couldn't sit, you know, lay in my bed unless, you know, God really told me to. But the only person I know that's ever done this is Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to lie in my bed and just say, okay, storm, right, you just need to stop now. I have no control over that storm whatsoever. That storm has authority. And when we go through things in our lives, when we go through storms in our life that seems to have authority over us, that seems to be pounding us down, let me tell you, when you come through those things, the authority that you have in God is absolutely incredible. The authority that you can stand in is amazing. You change through storms. Do you know that? Storms change your outlook. Storms change your stance on things. Storms change your empathy for others. When you come out of a storm, you are different. You are different. When I came out of the storm of divorce, I was a lot more empathetic to those who had been through a marriage breakdown than what I was beforehand. Because I would have had a certain stance beforehand, and some of that still rings true, but I would have had a certain stance beforehand because I'd never really been through any major storms in my life until that point. And I had a certain stance because I've been brought up in church and I've been brought up, you know, to see things as very, very black and white. And so I had certain stances, and God totally and utterly changed me It doesn't mean that all of a sudden I thought divorce was a great idea, because I don't, and the Bible doesn't either. But all of a sudden I had an empathy that I never had before, because storms change you. Storms will change your life if you let them. And this is the thing with this story, is that we all think Jesus calmed the storm to show the disciples, you know, to kind of make them safe and help them feel good. But actually, Jesus calmed the storm to show them who he was. Jesus didn't calm the storm just to save the disciples. He calmed the storm to show them he was the Son of God, to show them the authority and the power that he had on earth. All the events that happened when Jesus showed them who he was led to the confession that Peter gave, which is, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This was one of those happenings. Because it wasn't just so they felt nice. It was so they knew who he was. And God can use our life storms sometimes as our greatest teachers. God can use our life storms to show us again that he is powerful, that he is omnipotent, that he is omnipresent, he is everywhere all at once, that he is omniscient, that he knows all things, that he is all powerful, and he wants us to know and realize who he is and who we have access to. When you come out of a storm, and I have watched over our church over 2 decades now, I've watched people go through storms and come out of it the other side just with a new authority. Right. And it's not something that you kind of, you know, you tell everyone, "I now have a new authority," because then it's a little bit false then. But you just watch how they move. You just watch how they talk. You just watch how they are with other people. And there's a new authority that lies within us when we come through the storm. We can become very distorted in who we think God is sometimes. Do you know what? The storms, I think, in our world today, my prayer is that they will begin to reveal God's authority in our humanity. God's authority over our lives. The authority to rescue the disciples was always in the boat. This morning, the authority to bring rescue in the middle of your storm is already in your life if you know Jesus Christ. Those storms that you might be in, those storms that we're in at the moment, as a nation, as a community, do you know what? God's in the boat. We just need to realize that and realize the authority that we can have in that. Yeah. Do you know what? In your boat today, so in your life, doesn't matter how scared you might be, if Jesus is there, there's already more power in your boat than there is in your storm. There's already more power in your life than there is in the storm that rages against it. Sometimes we just need to ride the storm. Sometimes we just need to learn to dance in the rain rather than complain about it. And being British, sometimes hard. But sometimes we need to say, do you know what? The storms that are pouring down on me right now, I'm just going to learn to dance and praise in the middle of them. This morning, you can find purpose in your storm. You can find faith in your storm. And you can realize the authority that you're going to come out with when that storm begins to pass. This morning, I'm just going to pray for us. Let's just close our eyes. This morning, if something that I'm going to pray a very general prayer, but maybe this morning you need to respond and say, God, I need to realize that there's more authority in my boat today than there is in my storm. And maybe you need to make that declaration. God, I'm going to trust in you today. I'm going to allow faith to grow. I'm going to allow purpose to be revealed. And God, I'm going to allow your authority to come through my life. Not just so I can work in authority, but so I can be under your authority. There's a special place in being under the authority of Christ. But maybe this morning you need to know and declare to yourself, there's more power in the boat than what there is in the storm. Why? Because Jesus is in the boat. The Holy Spirit's in the boat. And he created storm in the natural. And he commands it. And so this morning, if something I've said has just resonated with you, I think it's always good sometimes to respond and